Welcome everybody on a lovely warm May afternoon. I'm very pleased indeed to welcome once again Professor Tripathi, who's going to share his expertise on Vaishnava ritual and Vaishnava Pancharatra texts with us. So he's going to give us a talk, an introduction to Vaishnava ritual and philosophy based on the Pancharatra system. I look forward to this very much.
Thank you very much, Professor Flood. I'm really honored to be given this opportunity to speak on Vaishnavism here in your presence, who you yourself are a great expert of Pancharatra ritual and philosophy. I have seen the titles of your lectures, and this is something which does me honor, but also makes me a little hesitant to speak before you. I really originally wanted to speak on the ritual of Pancharatra, but when I started yesterday scribbling my lecture, it became a sort of history of, it started with a historical perspective of Vishnuism, how it originated, and I thought that I have to shed at least some light on Vaikhanasa system also, so that you understand the difference between Pancharatra and Vaikhanasa system. So the Pancharatra, I think, has become a little too short, but because of the time constraint, but I hope in the discussion following we can clarify some points which have remained unexplained or untouched in this lecture. I start with an invocation by Ramanuja. Om अखिल भुवन जन्मस्थेम भंगादि लीले विनत विविध भूत व्रात रक्षेत दीक्षे श्रुति शिरसि विदीते ब्रह्मण श्रीनिवासे भवतु मम परस्मिन् शेमुषी भक्ति रूपा. This is the Mangalacharan shlok of Ramanuja's Shri Bhashya addressed to Lord Venkateshwar of Tirupati, Srinivas. Though, as you know, this Tirupati temple is follows the practice of Vaikhanasas, and Ramanuja was a staunch Pancharatrin, but he praises Srinivas because for him perhaps there was no difference between Vishnu of or Vishnu of Vaikhanasas and Vasudeva of Pancharatra. So, something about this vexed problem. One of the most vexed problems of Indian religious history is to account for and to give a convincing reason for the sudden and steep rise of the importance of Vishnu in the post-Vedic period, pushing such highly glorified Vedic gods like Indra into oblivion, a process which I think is still continuing. My German Guruji, late Professor Ulrich Schneider, in his posthumously published work Vishnu's Aufstieg, it is 1993, has proposed the thesis that Vishnu owes this unprecedented rise to his very specific and explicit social function, which is already hinted at in the Rig Veda. Whereas Indra conquers the enemies of the Aryans, Vishnu captures the land, distributes it among the new settlers, who are mostly farmers, thus increasing agricultural production and working for the welfare of the society, an activity which corresponds to the Puranic idea of Vishnu being the supporter of the creation. Though much can be said in favor of this theory, and some passages may be cited from the Rig Veda in itself in support of it, I think that it's only half of the story. One must also take into account the facts that the total identification of Vishnu in these texts, total identification of Vishnu with Vedic sacrifice in the Brahmanas, Vishnur Vaiya Jaha, this is very frequently met with sentence in the Brahmanas. The identification of the Vedic meters with Shena or Garuda, who carries the sacrifice, read Vishnu, to the gods. Vishnu's close connection with the sun. The Purusha Sukta ascribed to Rishi Narayana, in which Purusha is totally identified with the universe and is supposed to exist even beyond that. Further, the very etymology of the word derived from the root Vish, which means both to penetrate and to cover, to encompass. According to the later Vedic text Brihad Devata, Vishnu is called so because he is permeated through the whole universe, covers it from all around, and is in fact identical with the universe. This, if you need Sanskrit shlokas, I can quote them. Vishnate Vishateir Vasyat Veveshtir Vyapti Karmana Vishnur Niruchyate Surya Sarva Sarvantarashtaya. Vishnu Puran declares later that Narayana is there inside and outside of each and every object of this universe, whatever is seen or heard. Yatcha kinchit jagatyasmin drishyate shruyate piva antar bahishcha tat sarvam vyapya narayana sthita. The Purusha of the Rigveda comes to be so deeply associated with Vishnu that the 16 verses of this hymn are recited one by one while offering the 16 upacharas at the time of puja to Vishnu. How could a god, whom only 6 hymns are dedicated in the Rigveda, surpass in importance a god, the supreme god of the Rigvedic pantheon, whom about 250 hymns are dedicated? This is the main problem with these scholars. But it is quite possible that the statistical data of the numbers of the hymns dedicated to each god in the Rigveda is not the correct picture, not the correct criterion for judging the relative importance of a particular god in the religious beliefs of the Vedic society. Does the Vedic collection of hymns, done mainly for ritualistic purpose, give us a true picture of the religious beliefs of the contemporary society? It appears that besides believing in quite a number of gods whom hymns are addressed, the Vedic Indians had a clear concept of one supreme being as well, who is sporadically referred to already in the Rigveda with such expressions as Ekam Sad Vipra Bahudha Vadanti, or Yo Devanam Adhi Deva Ekah, or Yo Asyadhyakshah Parame Vyoman So Angaveda, etc. This is Asyavami, Prajapati and Nasiriya Suktas. Whether they conceive the Supreme Being as personal, having a form, or impersonal, that is totally abstract, it's difficult to say categorically. But I think, in the worldview of Vedic Indians, it was both, or could have both forms or states. Whereas the Asyavami Sukta refers to this supreme power simply as Sat, or Being, the poet of Nasadiya Sukta refers to this to him as Adhyaksha of creation. Adhyaksha is supervisor or superintendent, and as being present in the highest heaven, Parame Vyoman, but says in the very opening verse that he is to be conceived as beyond the categories of being and non-being. Na sadasit, no sadasit tadani. Na sat, no asat. The famous Purusha Sukta refers to the creator of the universe as Purusha or person, 1/4 of whom is this creation and 3/4 of whom exists beyond the creation. Everything in this world, human beings, their social order, animals, plants, time, knowledge systems, stars and planets, air and life, breath, emerges out of his body. Both the tradition of considering the Supreme Being as personal and impersonal run concurrently in Indian religious thoughts and get reflected in the Upanishads, although the tradition of an abstract supreme being, Brahman, gets more stressed in the Upanishads, although a vivid description of a personal supreme being as Maheshwar and his powers, Maya, is also available in the Shvetashvatara Upanishad. It is difficult to say with what particular name did the ancient Indian call this Supreme Personal Being, Ishwar or Maha-Ishwar, are usually the words used for him in the Upanishads, whereas the expression Bhagavat, nominative Bhagavan, the fortunate one, the blessed one, seems also to have been in use in quite ancient times, a word which could also be used in Sanskrit while addressing a noble or respected person, Bhagava, Bhago, whereas Ishwar later drifts more towards Shiva, Bhagavan, comes slowly closer to Vishnu, although still retaining its general use. So back to Vishnu. Now the big question is whether this personal supreme being was designated or named inter alia as Vishnu from the very beginning, that is from the earlier Vedic times, or this name came to be associated or attached to him in the post-Vedic period, that is during the period which we describe as the period of the ascent of Vishnu. The first is the fact, and the Vedic supreme being was already known as Vishnu during the Rigvedic times. Then the rishis glorifying Indra have done a sort of injustice towards him by making him an associate of Indra, Upa Indra, much in the manner of the Buddhist writers of later period who make gods like Brahma and Indra coming down from heaven and paying respect to Buddha. But notice, don't the expressions like Yo Asya Adhyaksha Parame Vyoman Asya Adhyaksha and Tad Vishnoh Paramam Padam Sadapashyanti Suraya don't look like related to each other? In this case, and much in the Rigveda speaks of for it, we do not have to seek for a reason or justification of the rise or ascent of Vishnu in the later Vedic period. He was the supreme being earlier and remained it later as well, only to emerge more in foreground as the Vedic ritual receded. But if it was only the word Vishnu as an appellative or adjective which came to be associated or attached in the later period to the supreme being, more prominently the personal supreme being, much like Bhagavan or Purusha, maybe because of the reason that he was associated with Yajna and further his name had this wonderful etymology, the penetrator, then also we need not have to go far to understand the reasons for his ascendance, because it would then just be a new or additional name, a designation, for an older concept which was known under such names as Purusha or Narayana, Shatpatha Brahmana. However, the association of the word Vishnu with the personal supreme being must necessarily have brought some of the traits of Vishnu, like for example his traversing of earth or the universe with three steps, this already Rigveda, his association with the chakra with 360 spokes, 4 into 90, or his characteristic of changing forms which develops into the idea of his incarnating himself in manifold ways. Thus we have now three alternatives for the ascent of Vishnu in the post-Vedic age, and you tell me later which one you think to be most plausible. One, Vishnu, because of his marked and prominent function for the welfare of human society, becomes prominent in the post-war period of peace and rapprochement. Two, Vishnu was already a name of the Supreme Personal Being, the Purusha during the Rigvedic times, but his importance is not properly reflected. It is not only improperly represented in the Vedas, but has been rather suppressed in order to highlight the role of Indra. Three, the Supreme Personal Being, Purusha or Narayana, call it whatsoever, simply acquired the name Vishnu and Bhagavan, also Vasudev, etc., in the post-Vedic period, when the importance of Vedic ritual receded and the element of bhakti slowly gained prominence. Same thing happens with the word Krishna later, which originally a personal name becomes synonymous with Vishnu. I feel that the tradition of Vishnu as supreme being having both personal and impersonal aspects has all the likelihood of going back to Vedic or at least later Vedic times. of the two ancient schools of the Vishnuism of which we are going to speak in the following, namely the Vaikhanasa and the Pancharatra. The Vaikhanasa is older and has retained a number of Vedic elements in its ritual and practice, whereas Pancharatra is a younger school developed in the Shurasena region in and around Mathura, has less of it, that is Vedic traits, but is not totally devoid of it. Consequently, it is less orthodox and much more liberal than the Vaikhanasa and advocates initiation, diksha, to all the members of the society, including the lowest of the lowly, Shudras, and irrespective of the gender, so women are also included. Whereas among the Vaikhanasas, only Brahmins are entitled to worship Vishnu, others may be just spectators. This is mainly because of the reason that the Vaikhanasas mostly use Vedic mantras for the worship of Vishnu, whereas the Pancharatrins use both the Vedic and the Laukika mantras, but mostly the latter. The emergence of the school of Pancharatra from the older Vaikhanasa can very well be compared with the emergence of the school of Mahasanghikas or Mahayana from the Hinayana or Theravada. According to the testimony of ancient texts, the Vaikhanasas were the ascetics who lived away from the society, mostly in forests, observing celibacy, but perhaps not all, and worshipped Vishnu as supreme being in sacrificial fire with Vedic mantras. According to Mahabharata, they subsisted on the produce of forest, eating bulbs and roots and fruits or even flowers. Mulai reke, phalai reke, pushpai reke, dhravrata, vartayanti yatha nyayam, vaikhanas mata shrita. The school is said to have been founded by the hermit Vikhanas, who according to a folk etymology is believed to have dug deep, Vikhan, into the mysteries of the Vedas. Antarhitanam khananat, Vedanam tu visheshatah, Savibhu prochyate sarvair Vikhana Brahmavadivi. Vikhanas is mentioned by name in the Tandya, Jaiminiya and Arshiya Brahmanas, in the Taittiriya Aranyak, as well as in Vaudhayana Shrutra, Shrauta and Dharma Sutras. Vaikhanasa Kalpa Sutra is available, and its portion on kindling sacrificial fire and invocatory mantras for Agni has been adopted by Apastamba, Gautam and Haritha. Rishi Vaikhanas is referred to in the Brihad Devata as well. Sage Vikhanas had four main disciples, Atri, Kashyap, Marichi and Bhrigu, under whose names texts are or were available. According to Mahabharata, the Vaikhanasas were ek devavadina, believer in one single god, monotheists, and referred to their god as Vishnu, Purusha, Nitya, or Achyuta, meaning one and the same, without any difference among these words. This Mahabharata. Vishnum cha purusham nityam, Achyutam cha yudhishthira, aviruddhena mam prahu, vaikhanas vidojana, aviruddhena mam prahu. According to the philosophy of Vaikhanasa, Vishnu is the ultimate reality. He is beyond the reach of the imagination of common mortals, but can be perceived by the sages in meditation continuously. Compare Rig Veda, Tad Vishnu Paramam Padam Sada Pashyanti Surya Diviva Chakshuratatam. Vishnu has two aspects. One is Nishkal or Nirgun, which is formless and has simply the nature of Lashchar Tejas, abiding in the Hrit Kamal, lotus of heart, of the devotee. The other form is qualified, Sakal or Sagun. This is the cosmic aspect of Vishnu, in which he is penetrated through the whole universe. Another fourfold division of Vishnu is also mentioned in the texts, especially in the Jnana Kanda of Kashyap, is printed, which is as follows: Adimurti Vishnu, the transcendental formless aspect, Mahavishnu, also called Satya, identical with the external reality of the universe, Sada Vishnu, also called Achyut, which is the individual soul, and Narayana, Aniruddha, that is the form in which he is permeated through the whole universe. The Vaikhanasas also believe in the Shakti of Vishnu and call it Shri. That is Shri Nivas, that Tirupati deity is called. She is the will of the Lord, eternal, without beginning or end, unmanifest, consisting of total bliss, and is the basic subtle cause of creation, Mula Prakriti Rupa, influence of Sankhya. Some texts like Vaikhanasakalpa also ascribe her the role of being instrumental in creating consciousness by forming manas, buddhi and ahankara, that is the internal organs, or antahakaran. There is not much difference in the concept of Shakti or Shri between the Vaikhanasas and Pancharatri. Tapas, that is austerities, and yajna, worship or sacrifice, are considered to be the means of attaining favor and grace of Vishnu. The term yajna remains, but it is interpreted in the post-Vedic literature of Vaikhanasas as worship and not sacrifice. However, they hold that the worship of Vishnu can be of three kinds: worship in the fire pit, worship in the image, and mental worship carried out in the heart. Manasi Homa Pujeti, Bera Pujeti, Sa Tridha. Some texts even speak of worshipping Vishnu in the orb of the sun. Dhyasada Saviti Mandala Madhyavarti Narayana Sarasija Sanasan Nivishta and Yo Asau Purushe Sohamasmi. This is Ishavasya Purusha. The Beras or Bimbas of the Vaikhanasas are of five kinds. First of all, they differentiate between a permanently fixed image, Dhruva Beram, and the mobile images, Chala Beram, which are of four kinds: the Kautuka Vera for performing daily worship, Snapana Vera, Utsava Vera, and Vali Vera. These Veras, Snapana for giving bath, Utsava for festivals, and Vali for when they take it out and give offerings to demons and pretas and also subsidiary deities in the evening. These beras are consecrated by performing special homas in the pits of Ahavaniya, Sabhya, Avasathya, Garhapatya and Anvaharya fires respectively. They are smaller metallic representations of the main murti. The ritual of the Vaikhanasa form of worship is meticulously carried out in the Venkateshwar temple on the Tirumala hills of Tirupati. The priests do not undergo any formal diksha when their mothers are pregnant. Shankh and chakra, metallic, dipped in milk, are pressed on their upper arms, leaving a temporary sign of conch and discus. The child, when born, is thus automatically considered to have been initiated into the Vaikhanasa Shastra.
Is it female?
They don't do it for female.
So mother is the one who gets
mother
it.
Mother gets it, yes.
Yeah. Well, they know, they would just...
But she belongs to the community of the Vaikhanasas, though right. She is not entitled for worship, but still she belongs, she is considered as a part of the community.
Okay.
The emancipation for the Vaikhanasas from worldly bonds is of four kinds. All of them reach the realm of Vishnu, but have different degrees of proximity to him. The first is Salokya, that is living in the world of Vishnu. The second is Samipya, living in the proximity of God. The third is Sarupya, that is to attain the form and power similar to Vishnu. And finally, Sayujya, that is to get united with Vishnu in Vaikuntha, in everlasting bliss. Very few works of Vaikhanasas are available now. As I told before, Atri, Kashyap, Bhrigu and Marichi are the greatest authorities. All the writings of Atri bearing the title Tantra are lost. What remains is a Paddhati titled Samurtarchadhikaran in 40 Adhyayas. The works of Kashyap were known as Kandas, of which only Jnana Kanda is available and published. Of Bhrigu, 14 works are known to have existed, all bear the title Adhikara, of which only three, that is Khiladhikara, Prakirnadhikara and Yajnadhikara, are available. Marichi titled his works as Sanghita, of which he is said to have composed 8, out of which only Ananda Sanghita in 101 chapters is available. And we hope to publish it from the Indira Gandhi National Center for Art. Somebody is working on it. Shriman Narayan Murthy of Tirupati, with an English translation. Vaikhanasa Kalpa Sutra is also published with the commentary of Nrisingh Vajpayee, a collection of all the Vedic mantras used in the puja and the various utsavas of Tirupati temple is available in the Devanagari script under the title Vaikhanasa, curious title, Vaikhanasa Mantra Prashnaha, which one may often see in the hands of young Brahmin boys in Tirupati receiving training in priesthood. I've seen it personally, that's why. We now come to the Pancharatrins. It's not possible to say when exactly the Pancharatra school came into being. However, the present text of the Mahabharata is conversant with it and mentions it as Ekanti Dharma, which literally means doctrine of single-minded devotion. That is, to one particular God, who is Vishnu. The word Ekayanam referred to as a subject of his study in the Chandogya Upanishad is also taken to mean the same, which means one way, the only way, way to only one. So Ayanam is Marga or way, path, like Hinayana or Mahayana. It also means path. It is also known as Bhagavat Shastra, and mark the use of the word Bhagavat here. And the Bhagavatam, Bhagavatas mentioned in ancient Buddhist texts and in many ancient inscriptions appear to be followers of this religious system. There is absolutely no doubt about the fact that the Srimad Bhagavat Purana has also been produced in their circle, most probably in South India from 6th century. The term Pancharatra has not yet been explained in satisfactory manner, though more than half a dozen explanations are available. 5 days Navaratram, like, or Pancharatram. So Ratri can mean also day, not only night. Like Navaratram, this Dibu Samas. 5 nights, this is simply the meaning of the term, and it is this simplicity which in fact causes the difficulty. One explanation says Vishnu taught this doctrine for 5 nights to his 5 weapons, attributes, which assumed the forms of 5 rishis and propagated it further. The Sanat Kumar Sangita says that the doctrine was taught for 5 nights by Brahma, Shiva, Indra, Brihaspati and rishis respectively. Another Sangita is of the opinion that Pancharatra refers to 5 main activities of a Vaishnava. This is important. It is the Panchakala Vyavastha, it is called Panchakala Vyavastha. The first is Abhigaman, that is going to the temple for darshan early morning. Then Upadana, procuring material for worship. Ijya, worship or puja. Swadhyaya, study of own Veda. And Yoga, meditation, etc. During the 5-fold divisions of the day, namely Prata, morning, Sangav, forenoon, Madhyan, noon time, Aparanha, afternoon, and Sayam, evening. This explanation has been accepted by Vedanta Deshik in Pancharatra Paramya. According to Ahirbuddhne Sangita, the Shastra derives its name from the treatment of the 5 forms of Vishnu, namely Par, Vyuh, Vibhav, Archa, and Antaryamin, whereas there are also other explanations. Mahabharata says that it's a 5th product of the previous 4 main disciplines or shastras, namely Sankhya, Vedas, Upanishads, Sankhya, Yoga, put together make Pancharatra. To me, the most convincing explanation seems to be the one which traces its origin to the Purusha Medha sacrifice described in the Shatapatha Brahmana, which is a form of Agnishtom or Soma Yaga performed for 5 days. Shatapatha Brahmana says that it was first performed by Purusha to bring all beings under his control and to become Narayana. We have mentioned that Pancharatra was nearer to common people and very Catholic and generous in nature. Some of the practices of the tantric nature like Akarshan, Vashikaran and Maran, etc. have therefore also crept into some of its works, which has made it an object of ridicule and criticism by the Vaikhanasas. They say, gentle is Vaikhanasa, fierce the Pancharatra. Saumyam Vaikhanasam Proktam, Agneyam Pancharatrakam, fiery, Agneyam Pancharatrakam. This is quotation of Samurtarcha Adhikaran. It was Yamunacharya, preceptor of Ramanuj, who in his Agama Pramanya, 11th century, first called Pancharatra as Kashmir Agama, that is a school of thought which originated in Kashmir. Otto Schrader, in his pioneer work, An Introduction to Pancharatra and the Ahirbhudhni Sanghita, corroborated this view with new arguments. Mention of the location of various rivers during the Abhisheka of God in Poshkar Sanghita, mention of Bhurjapatra, Varchbak, for drawing the Yantra, and the mention of the expression Shakti Pata for the grace of God in Ahirbhudhni Sanghita and Lakshmi Tantra, which is a technical term of the Kashmir Shaiva Shakta philosophy, were adduced as reasons. I also believe for a long time in these arguments and considered Kashmir as the land of the origin of Pancharatra, but have now slowly drifted away from this opinion. While there is no doubt about the fact that the contribution of Kashmir towards Vishnuism has not yet been properly appreciated or studied, overshadowed as it has ever been by its overwhelming contribution to Shaiva Shakta philosophy, and while there is no denying the fact that some of the Pancharatra Sanghitas were perhaps composed in Kashmir, like Hayashirsha, yet I think that the origin, also Lakshmi Tantra, Paushkar and Satvat perhaps also, yet I think that the origin of Pancharatra is to be put much further back to the 7th, 6th century BC at least, at a time therefore when Kashmir was culturally not much important, and as I have said before, it was the region near or west of Mathura in Kuru Panchal which has to be looked at as its birthplace, a region where the hero worship of Krishna and his family members must have been strongly prevalent. Vasudev is the word which Pancharatra uses for its highest deity, in contrast to Vishnu of Vaikhanasa. Panini, also Punjab, refers to the worshippers of Vasudeva in the sutra Vasudevarjuna Abhyam Vun. Heliodorus, a Greek devotee of Vasudeva, erects a stone pillar with Garuda on it in front of the temple of Vishnu in Vidisha and calls himself a Bhagavata, a devotee of Bhagavat in the 2nd century BC. Excavations at the temple site by Archaeological Survey of India have proved the existence of a temple there, which is now no more in existence, since circa 500 years before the birth of Christ. The Ghosundi, that is Chittor, Rajasthan inscription dated 1st century mentions erection of a Narayan Vatika for Bhagavan Vasudeva, Bhagavato Vasudeva, and Sankarshan, the elder brother of Krishna. In the 1st century AD, Shodash dedicates a temple at Mathura on the spot of the birth of Krishna for five Veeras, that is, heroes of Vishnu race, namely Sankarshan, Vasudev, Pradyumn, Aniruddh, and Samb. And in the same century, Naganika in far south dedicates a temple with the opening words, Namo Sankarshan Vasudevabhyam. The frequent mention of Vasudev and Sankarshan in the ancient inscriptions and use of these terms to denote their highest god as well as his first lower emanation or manifestation Sankarshan, and further the use of the names of the son and grandson of Krishna Vasudeva, namely Pradyumn and Aniruddha, for subsequent manifestations of the Supreme Being, points towards a close connection of Pancharatra with Mathura. Further, the Pancharatra has been referred to as Sattvat Vidhi in the Mahabharata Bhishma Parva. It would be interesting to quote these lines which say that God Hari is to be served and worshipped by Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas and Shudras with markings on their foreheads, etc., while remaining engaged in their social and family duties. They should follow the procedure which is preached by Sankarshan at the end of the Dwapar age and the beginning of Kali Yuga, and which is called Sattvat Vidhi. Brahmanai Kshatriyai Vaishyai Shudraish Kritalakshanai Archaniyash Sevyash Nitya Yuktai Swakarmasu Sattvatam Vidhimasthaya Gita Sankh. Here the word Sattvat Vidhi deserves attention. Sattvatas were a Kshatriya tribe who lived in and around Mathura, and Krishna also belonged to their group. Many of them might have been mercenaries. Krishna had a well-trained army of the Sattvatas at his disposal, according to the testimony of Mahabharata, which he placed at the disposal of Duryodhana in the Mahabharata war, who had chosen to opt for the army of Krishna instead of Krishna self. Nitya Yuktai Swakarmasu reminds one of the teachings of Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita and distinguishes it from the Vaikhanasas who lived away from the society, shirking and giving up their duties towards the society and the family. It is further not surprising that the oldest or one of the oldest work of Pancharatra is called Sattvat Sanghita. The mention of the preaching of the Vidhi at the time of the beginning of Kali Yuga indicates that it was a comparatively new school of thought, and so it really was also in comparison to Vaikhanasas. Otherwise, if Indian authors want to emphasize the antiquity of the thought, they started with the Krita Yuga. Right, already in Satya Yuga we did it. The traditional explanation of the word Sattvata later is, however, one who knows Sat, the ultimate reality, Brahman. Sat is Brahman. Tadvantah Mahabhagavata Sattvikah Tesham Shastram. Vasudeva Krishna's character, as described in the Mahabharata and Bhagavad Purana, is beset with a number of superhuman and supernatural traits, since these works are products of an age when he had already become object of adoration. But there may not be any doubt as to the fact that such an important person as him really and historically existed. Perhaps we can approximately date him also on the basis of the marine archaeology based on the excavations at Dwarika, which comes to around 1300 BC. He is mentioned by the name in the Chandogya Upanishad, and some of the characters of the Mahabharata also find mention in the Shatpatha Brahmana. Due to his very important political, social and perhaps religious roles for his times, he was endowed with many superhuman characteristics and made object of hero worship, as noticed by Panini, along with some other members of his family. He may not have been considered as an incarnation of Vishnu from the very beginning. The Sattvatas, as we have seen, were householders and worshippers of the personal form of one single supreme being, whom they called Bhagavat, just like Heliodorus did, under the influence of hero worship, and with the increasing deification of Krishna, son of Vasudeva. However, his patronym Vasudeva came to be associated with this supreme being whose incarnation he came to be believed. The word was very appropriate for describing the supreme being, since the root Vas primarily means to shine, besides to live, and the word can be interpreted to refer to the lustrous character of the supreme deity on the one hand, and can also be interpreted as the one who lives or exists everywhere in the tiniest part of the world. Vasanad Vasudevasya Vyapitam Jagadatrayam, this Vishnu Puran, or the one in whom everyone and everything is placed, Vasatyasmin Sarvam. Association of the names of other relatives of Krishna, especially of Sankarshan, Pradyumna and Aniruddha, with different manifestations or forms or aspects of the Supreme Being followed, but did not remain limited to these only, and these names were used to denote the various constituents of the body of an individual too. According to this microcosmic association, Vasudeva is pure consciousness, Sankarshan is the individual soul bound jiva, Pradyumna is buddhi or manas, and Aniruddha is the ahankara. The influence of Sankhya is quite explicit here, from which the Vaishnava schools as well as Vedanta never could free completely. But on cosmic level, Vasudeva is Parabrahma, the highest transcendental, impersonal, supreme being. Yasmat samyak Parabrahma Vasudevakhyam avyayam. This is Paushkar Samhita. From him emanates Sankarshan. So it's not the same Balarama. This Sankarshan is not Balarama, the elder brother of Krishna. From Vasudeva emanates Sankarshan. From Sankarshan rises Pradyumna. Otherwise Pradyumna is son of Krishna, who in turn then produces Aniruddha from himself. Of these, Sankarshan, which means one who pulls together, is assigned the function of the laya or destruction of the world and of bringing it back to the original unmanifested form. In other words, he performs very much the same function, the function which Shiva is assigned in the Puranic works. Pradyumna in the Bhagavad Purana is said to be a reincarnation of the Kama, the god of love, burnt by Shiva, and is thus naturally associated with the activity of creation. He performs the function of god Brahma, the Prajapati, and creates the world. Aniruddha, the unobstructed and unchecked one, supports and sustains the creation, performing the original function of Puranic Vishnu. It is he, Aniruddha, who assumes various incarnations for the sake of suffering humanity. Lakshmi Tantra, however, ascribes this function of preservation, etc., to Pradyumna instead of Aniruddha. These four forms or aspects of God are termed as Vyuha, arrangement. The theory of Vyuha is characteristic of Pancharatra and distinguishes it from all other schools. According to some texts, between Paravasudeva and Sankarshan, there is also a personal form of Vasudeva called simply Vasudeva or Vyuha Vasudeva. It is Paravasudeva and Sankarshan. Then it is Vyuha Vasudeva or simply Vasudeva, whom prayers, that is the saguna or qualified form of Vasudeva in fact, whom prayers and worship etc. are addressed and directed to. These four manifestations of the Supreme Being are brought into association with a number of other phenomena and aspects too, like for example the four states of consciousness, Jagrat, Swapna, Sushupti and Turiya, and many others. You know these words, I hope. Jagrat, Swapna, Sushupti and Turiya, this fourth one. This is beyond that which you can experience only in Samadhi. However, these four manifestations are not considered to be basically only one in nature, which is known as Chaturatmya, are considered to be basically only one in nature, which is known as Chaturatmya principle of Pancharatra. This Vyuha theory is made part of yet another tenet of Pancharatra, Pancharupa, which has a much bigger scope and consists of five limbs, strengthening again the fivefoldness of Pancharatra. This is the tenet of the five forms of Vasudeva in which he exists in this universe. These are Para form, that is the transcendental form, Vyuha form, what we have discussed, the fourfold manifestation for creating, maintaining and destroying universe. Vibhava form. Vibhava means glory or special powers, which denotes his 10 main descents or avatars and myriads of other anshavataras, partial incarnations. And the fifth form of Vasudeva is that of antaryamin, the form in which he is penetrated to the whole universe and controls it from within. And the last is archa, archa or the image, that is, in which he resides, archa image, in which he resides and becomes an object of worship. For Pancharatrins, the image of Vishnu is not simply a replica of the personality of God, but a part of God himself, since God has been invoked inside the image and has been made to reside there permanently. Worship of God in the archa form has a very great significance in the Pancharatra. An image pleases the eyes, heart and mind of the beholder and generates love and devotion towards God, which makes God easily accessible to the worshipper. Chakshushah priti karanat manaso hridayasya cha pritya sanjayate bhaktir bhaktasya sulabho harihi. Personal God of the Pancharatrins, who is oft referred to with the word Brahman as well, but more frequently as Bhagavan, is endowed with six basic qualities or characteristics. They are, this is called Shadgunya, six qualities: Jnana, Aishwarya, Shakti, Bala, Virya and Tejas. These characteristics have been very clearly defined and explained in the Ahibhudni Sangita. Jnana is the foremost of all qualities. It also makes up the character of Bhagavan. It is non-inert, eternal, non-destructible, can pervade every object and is identical with self. Simple translation is knowledge, jnana. The power to be the agent of everything is Shakti. Aishwarya is sovereignty, non-dependence on any other means. Strength is the quality marked by absence of exertion. While being ever engaged in work, virya or virility is the quality not to be affected mentally or physically by the material objects and their shortcomings. Tejas or brilliance, luster, is the capacity of being omnipotent. All basic texts of Pancharatra, like Lakshmi Tantra, Ahirbhudni Sangita and Padma Sangita, etc., describe God as Shadgunya Vigraha, whose nature consists of these six gunas or qualities. Shri or Shakti also plays a very important role in the Pancharatra. She is the will of God and has no existence apart from him. Nor does Narayana Vasudeva exist without his Shakti, because it is she who performs all the functions of Narayana Vasudeva. Shakti possesses five functions, which are creation, srishti, maintenance, sthiti, dissolution, disappearance, this is tirubhava, and favor or grace, anugraha, that is bestowing favor upon the bhaktas. Tirobhav is the function with which the true nature of self and God is hidden from the worldly being, much like the avarana shakti or maya of Vedanta. Anugraha, grace or favor of God, is also known as shaktipata. This is the means of final liberation which is available to the worldly beings through devotion and total self-surrender, prapatti, to God. Sometimes Shri or Shakti also takes pity upon jivas afflicted with many sufferings due to their previous ill acts. She brings them to the right path and makes them eligible for the grace of God. Jiva in the Pancharatra is a part of Vasudeva, whose form, knowledge has become limited and sovereignty has vanished due to the Shakti of Vishnu. That is why he has become an Anu an atom and not capable of doing or achieving and achieving much. Kinchit kara kinchit jnah. One needs the grace of Shakti to be on the right path and to achieve favor of God. Means of liberations are enumerated as nishkama karma, dispassionate deeds, that is to perform actions with the spirit of total detachment in the light of the teachings of Gita. Sankhya, that is proper knowledge. It has got nothing to do with that Sankhya philosophy. It is the proper knowledge, samyak khyati, of the character of self, God, the relationship between the two, etc. Much on the lines of Vedanta. The third means of attaining liberation is yoga. These are yogic practices, meditations upon the form of Vasudeva, etc. And the final one is prapatti, surrender, with sarva tyaga, that is total surrender to the grace of God by giving up every other hope and every other action. It is also called sharanagati and has been immensely extolled by Ramanuja and his followers in the system of Vishishtadvaita and entails in itself all the elements of bhakti. Prapatti, however, does not occur as a means of liberation in some of the ancient texts of Pancharatra. The basic idea of moksha in the Pancharatra is that of sayujya, that is getting united with Vishnu without losing one's identity, according to Ahirbhudni Sangita. However, the individual souls which are originally of the size of a particle of dust, anu, get endowed with brilliance of millions of rays put together, Rashmi Koti Vibhushita. One of the texts describes that they cling to the body of Vishnu as gems. But the most prevalent notion is that the liberated souls receive the bodies and forms like Vishnu and get endowed with the same six qualities which distinguish Vasudeva. They attend upon Vishnu and enjoy eternal and limitless bliss and do not return to the world anymore. The Pancharatrikas have evolved a very elaborate system of puja, diksha and celebrations of utsavas or festivals, etc., which need separate treatment of the subject. I have the matter here, but I am afraid it would be too long. They have their own mantras and gayatris, which they use alternatively at the different times of the day. For example, Vishnu Gayatri in the morning for Vishnu, Dwadashakshar mantra, Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya during midday for Vasudeva, and Ashtakshar mantra, Namo Narayanaya in the evening for Narayana. They have produced a vast literature on their ritual philosophy and iconography, etc. Traditionally, they are said to have 108 Sanghitas, or main Sanghitas, which are divided into four sections or subjects, that is Jnana, that is philosophy, their philosophical structure, Kriya, is how to build a temple, its architecture, sculptures, iconography, Charya, which means ritual of worship, festivals, and Yoga, respectively. The oldest of these Sanghitas are supposed to be Satvat, Paushkar, and Jaya of Shiva Sanghita, with their versions, later versions, modern later versions as Ishwar, Parmeshwar, and Padma, and the last being the most popular one, the Padma Sanghita. There is a work called Kriya Kairava Chandrika. It has seen, it is based on Padma Sanghita. It is published. I was told when I visited the Shirangam temple that they are no more worshipping God with the help of the Parmeshwar Sanghita, but they use this paddhati, Kriya Kairava Chandrika, which was it's a paddhati based on Padma Sanghita. It's a very beautiful text in prose, and it has many quotations. It more than 105 or 106 quotations from the Vedas. So Pancharatrins, they also used Vedic mantras, not only Vaikhanasas claim to be Vedic. Pancharatrins have later introduced more and more Vedic mantras into their ritual. So thank you very much for attention, and I hope you will be long.